This is June 18th. This is Mark Brettler sitting in Mount Scopus in Professor Emanuel Tolf's office. So, Professor Tolf, at what time did you develop an interest in biblical studies? How did that happen?
It was at high school. I was at a classical gymnasium where we studied the classics, Greek and Latin authors. At the same time, I went to a Jewish class called Talmud Torah, and being a philologist of 12 and 14 and 16 years old, I thought, let's do something also about Hebrew sources. And at that time, I was interested in the Hebrew Bible at a purely philological level. Of course, there were some personal feelings as well, but I was interested in the Bible as if it were another text from the ancient world.
What country was this in?
I was born in Amsterdam, the Netherlands.
And at what point did you decide you wanted to be a professional biblical scholar?
One never knows exactly at what time, at what moment you decide on your career. But basically, I left the Netherlands for Israel in the year 1961, and I wanted to study Hebrew Bible. I found out that you can't study Hebrew Bible as a single topic, so I took also Greek, which I had already studied at high school. And then I simply wanted to become a teacher at high school. Afterwards, when I had kids, I was very happy. I decided never to be a high school teacher. But when I entered the university, I wanted to become a teacher. I was then picked out by one of my teachers, Professor Shmayahu Talmon, the late Professor Talmon, to be his assistant. And then slowly and slowly you start an academic career. In the beginning, not so seriously, but then this is a career that soaks you up. And so you have to be serious. So at what time did I decide? I would say after my PhD, then I saw that I have no choice. I had to be a professional biblical scholar, which I am.
And at what time did you decide that textual criticism would be the main area that you would spend your life's work on?
I think my teachers, Professors Talmon and Professor Seligman, they encouraged me to enter this course in my second year of university studies. I was already allowed into the Septuagint course, the Greek Bible course, which was really for MA and for PhD level. I did well. I wrote some papers in this area, and the remainder is history. My teachers, and not only the ones I mentioned, but also others, encouraged me to do so. And indeed, most of my career has been devoted to the study of the text of the Hebrew and Greek Bible, as well as the Dead Sea Scrolls.
And you've spoken of your teachers. Whom would you consider to be your teachers with a capital T?
The first one was Professor, they're all late. I have to think about this, but I think they're all late. No, with one exception.
One exception.
The late Professor Seligman, like myself, of Dutch origin, teaching in Israel as from about 1950 onwards. Professor Talmon. And later on in my Harvard years, it was Professor Frank Moore Cross, who is a very respectable old man at this stage, of, I would say, 92 years old, and Professor Strugnell. They were my main teachers, to whom I should add Professor Moshe Goshen Gottstein, also of Jerusalem, who was my teacher and advisor within the Hebrew University Bible Project, and he had a profound impression on me, as did the other four I mentioned.
There are many different schools of textual criticism of the Hebrew Bible. Can you describe where you feel your scholarship is situated within the different approaches that people take?
I would first make a distinction between people who study the text, do all the work on this detail and that detail, and people who have mainly theories, but also study the text. So I start from down below, and I do all the work, and I learned this in the courses of Professor Seligman and the Hebrew University Bible Project. I don't know exactly where I stand with regard to theories. I think that I'm the theories I have, I hope, come from my dealing with the text. If I compare myself with others, like the old scholars well known, like Paul Kahle, he was a very fine scholar, but he started with theories and then applied them to the text. And so did Paul Anton de Lagarde. Professor Seligman was a man who started from the text, and so was Professor Moshe Goshen. I don't know exactly where I stand with regard to other people. I don't know whether there's so many different schools. I have my views on the matters of the original text, on the Septuagint and its importance. But it's hard for me to place myself in the overall spectrum of views. I have my own views, yes. And maybe in a way I'm closest to those of Goshen and of Talmon.
In terms of different views that were represented at the Hebrew University, Moshe Greenberg, for example, was very much in favor of interpreting the Hebrew text and not creating earlier conjectural texts. Do you believe that it is possible to create more original texts than what we have? Is it possible to create original texts? Where do you stand on those issues?
Moshe Greenberg is really a very good example of a scholar who did his best not to be involved in textual criticism. At the same time, he was a major, original, and very fine scholar and extremely original exegete. Moshe Greenberg wrote a paper in which he tried to prove that we really have to exegete the Masoretic text, because the Masoretic text has its own internal logic, and the Septuagint has its own internal logic, and the Aramaic Targum has. I don't think that's correct. And I had many a conversation with Moshe Greenberg. I quote him on many matters. I would say my overall aim, not obtainable, is still to try to work from the individual readings, to compare them, and to try to determine which reading is the best, and then to go back to the so-called original text. At the same time, I realize that this is an ideal, and an ideal is something that can never be attained. Beyond that, I believe there is not one original text, and that is my special contribution to textual criticism. There are several original texts, or more specifically, the text developed in editorial stages, and each stage was original at its time. That is, in complicated books like Jeremiah, Joshua, Samuel, Kings, etc. In a book like Psalms, this was not so complicated. Here there's only a number, sometimes many different details, and they can be more easily reconstructed to one common original text. But it is my special view about the stages of the original text that really complicates matters. And I'm pleased to see that the new addition to the Biblia Hebraica, the so-called Biblia Hebraica Quinta, follows this view, although not mentioning my view specifically, but the practical result is that they accept the idea of, you might say, different stages of an original text.
This idea, of course, is seen in your book, Textual Criticism of the Bible, which has gone through various editions over a number of years. Can you talk about the extent to which and the manner in which your views have changed over the last 42 years that you've been publishing?
Yes, my views have changed. I'm not like my teacher, John Strugnell, who had in his room at the École Biblique a large poster of a rhinoceros under which he had a text that said, I have many vices, being wrong is not one of them. So again, I'm not like Professor Strugnell, and I've changed my mind. I would have to mention certain areas in which I've changed my mind. I've not changed my mind in the overall view of textual criticism. I've simply, it has become more sophisticated, and it's like a puzzle in which you insert your different views and different layers of your views. But I've changed my mind, I would say, on the they may seem like small details, but it's an important, there's an important text which I published together with Sidney White from Qumran. It's called 4Q Reworked Pentateuch. It's a long text and there are five different manuscripts, and we've published that text as so-called reworked Pentateuch, which means it's not a biblical text, although most of the fragments give us biblical text. And it took me a while, having studied more in detail another text, the Septuagint, to realize that basically these are biblical texts. And this makes a big difference. I'm not alone in this view, because I had those who criticized me, and they said a few years after we published the text, they said, no, this is wrong, this is a biblical text. I've not revised my views because of the arguments they gave, but because of other arguments that I realized much later. I've changed my views with regard to, again, another detail, the relation between the Septuagint and the Samaritan Pentateuch, who, as I now see, are much closer than they are to other texts. I have not changed my mind with regard to the Qumran scrolls and the Septuagint, but I should say, more and more I've realized that those two texts are extremely important, often more important than the Masoretic text, and more I've started to realize that we should base our exegesis, because that's what we do with textual criticism, that we should base our exegesis not only on the Masoretic text, but also on the Septuagint, Samaritan Pentateuch, and certain Qumran scrolls.
You've mentioned Qumran scrolls several times. In conclusion, can you talk briefly about how you became the director of the Dead Sea Scrolls publication project and what this project has meant for you?
My teachers brought me closer to the Dead Sea Scrolls. In particular, during my Harvard years, two members of the small editorial team at the time, I was at Harvard between 67 and 69, Professors Cross and Strugnell, gave me and others insight into a few Qumran scrolls. They also taught me how to read the scrolls, how to interpret them, how to work with fragments, and the whole editorial process of those of publishing the scrolls. Sometime later, I was asked to publish a large Greek scroll, and I was then the first or the second Israeli scholar to be asked to publish scrolls, because this was a work that was primarily or only done by non-Israelis and non-Jews in those years. Slowly I worked more and more on the scrolls, in particular because of Professor Strugnell, and then life would have continued in the same quiet way had there not been troubles around Professor Strugnell, who became ill and who was discontinued as editor-in-chief. At that time, I believe I was about 50 years old, and I was then asked, because they were looking for an Israeli who could head the international team, to lead the team, and that has quite changed my life. I became much more busy. And I rearranged the team, reorganized the team, started fundraising organization together with Western Fields, the Dead Sea Scrolls Foundation, and I was relieved of half of my teaching load, and at that time we simply enlarged the editorial team. And we started, embarked upon a major attack on the work of the publishing the scrolls. I don't know how long it took, but the bulk was done in 10 years, then a little more in 15 years, and altogether probably took some 17 years in which I succeeded of publishing some 30 volumes, maybe 32 volumes. Our work was done with Oxford University Press, with which I had a very good relationship, and twice a year I had to appear there, not only because of the press, but also because in the beginning our major funding was from the Oxford University Hebrew Center. This whole work has been completed, thanks God. I say thank to God, because it was too busy a period in which I had to work with some 50-60 scholars around the world. Some easy, maybe most of them easy, but some not so easy. And this really took all my, I can't say free time, because I had no free time, but it took up all my time. Did I learn a lot? Yes, I learned a lot, not only about the scrolls, but also about humans, because you don't work with fragments, you work with humans. And it was the beginning few years were very difficult, because I first had to prove myself. And this was not something I was born into or was born for. but you probably have certain features in your character which made me appropriate for this job. And it worked. And after a few years of hardship, I was being appreciated in my job. The volume started to roll from the press in Oxford, and things worked out very well. I was honored in several ways, and this was a good period in my life.
And a wonderful contribution for all of us who deal in biblical studies. And finally, now that this period of publication of all the Dead Sea Scrolls in an official manner is over, what are your next projects, or what is your next project?
Well, my first project was to finish my teaching at the Hebrew University. I'm now an emeritus professor, which means I can continue teaching on a small scale, which I'm doing and which I enjoy. I'm working now on a new Hebrew version of my book on textual criticism. The book will also be translated into Spanish and Portuguese, but those are languages which I can read but cannot correct. And I'm probably starting a large research project. I say probably because I'm still waiting for funding, which is to provide all the data on all the manuscripts and all the translations of the Torah. Something like an expansion, a large expansion of my already existing computer module called CATS, Computer Assisted Tools for Septuagint Studies, which is a module within the program Accordance and Bible Works and Logos, and which is really used everywhere in the world by people who enjoy accessing the data in comparing the Hebrew and Greek text, not anymore with the large concordances, but now with more precise electronic data.
Great. Thank you very much for your time.